Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. David James comes to this broadcast table. We have a weekly conversation. Today is the day that that will happen. We'll be talking about the details of the new Alabama abortion law. The passage of this law has the pre-choice people in America in an uproar. David will explain all of this law. By the way, this is not only a political issue, it's a biblical issue as well. David will come to the broadcast table in a moment, right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. If you want to stay tuned with current events as they are unfolding in this world and as they relate to the prophetic scenario found in God's Word, you need to visit my website at least on a daily basis. That would give you information of how these current events fit into God's plan for the future from a biblical perspective. My website address, prophecytoday.com. On the home page, we give you the top 10 news stories of the world, news stories reporting current events that may be setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Let me suggest that you bookmark my website. It's prophecytoday.com. We now bring to these microphones David James. David, before we get to our main topic for today, I want you to share an email that you received from a young lady. I read it. It was just a thrilling email. She stumbled on the website, the Alliance for Biblical Integrity, a couple of days ago, and she sent you an email. Tell us about it.
Sure, and I want our listeners to understand that you're a part of this as well because you're one of the founding members of the Alliance for Biblical Integrity, and this email is just an example of some of the impact that the Lord is allowing us to have. A young lady wrote me this email. I'll just read the email. Growing up, I raised believing that salvation is solely by works. However, when I was 15, after losing my brother, I realized that the theology behind that concept was wrong. Shortly after, I left the church and began to immerse myself in crippling sin. Lately, I've begun to see how destructive my behavior has been. You had no idea what to do. And today, I stumbled upon your website and read through the eternity page, which is where I have the gospel. I read through the eternity page, and as I read, I understood the truth of the gospel, and that though I have wasted quite a few years of my life, I'm not too far gone. After much thought, I've decided to give my life to Christ and to begin living my life accordingly. Thank you for your ministry and for unknowingly pursuing the lost like me. I look forward to finding out how to grow in my relationship with Christ. And I've written back to her and encouraged her to stay in touch and also give her quite a few different suggestions for resources.
Wow, that is great. That is so thrilling. Praise the Lord. And folks, if you're listening to our conversation today, lift this young lady. We don't know her name. I don't anyway. But lift her up in prayer that God will strengthen her as she starts this new life. I love the little phrase, she stumbled onto God's hand in working that all out. That's really thrilling, David. Well, on Tuesday of this week, the Alabama State Legislature sent the most restrictive abortion bill in the nation to the governor's desk, and she signed it into law on Wednesday. Talk about it.
Sure. Well, as you noted, it was Alabama's Republican governor, a lady named Kay Ivey, and she did sign into law the nation's strictest abortion ban to date, and it was passed by the Republican-led Senate 25-6, so that's a very strong passage by the Senate. This new law follows on the heels of a heartbeat bill that was passed in Georgia just last week, and that law prohibits abortions once a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which is usually around 6 weeks into a pregnancy. Now, Alabama's new law makes it a felony to perform an abortion in nearly all cases, and the governor did acknowledge that the law was crafted specifically to give the Supreme Court's conservative majority a chance to criminalize abortion nationwide, but of course there's no guarantee it will make it that far. The law will go into effect in 6 months unless it's blocked by legal challenges, which it almost certainly will be, and it could be tied up in the courts for years. And the American Civil Liberties Union and Planned Parenthood have already announced plans to file lawsuits against it, arguing that it's unconstitutional.
Well, David, let's take a moment and dig into this a bit more. Is this a heartbeat bill or something more? For example, most abortion bills have exemptions for rape and incest. What exemptions are there in this Alabama bill?
Well, there are several things. First of all, Alabama's bill is more restrictive than a heartbeat bill. The current laws in effect in both Georgia and Alabama outlaw abortion after 20 weeks, and that's before these recent bills were introduced. And as I mentioned, heartbeat bills generally take that time frame down to 6 weeks, but Alabama's new law would make it illegal to perform abortions at any stage in the pregnancy with only three explicit exceptions, and these exceptions do not include cases of rape or incest. What they do include are if the baby has some type of lethal anomaly, meaning that it will definitely die, or if there's a serious health risk to the mother, or in the case of an ectopic pregnancy, and that's when a baby is in a fallopian tube rather than the uterus, which makes it impossible for the baby to live to a point of viability, and that can be fatal to the mother as well. And also, it's more strict with regard to penalties for doctors who perform abortions. For example, the Georgia bill provides for not less than 1 to more than 10 years in prison, but the Alabama bill makes it a felony punishable from 10 to 99 years or even life in prison for those doctors involved in performing abortions. So even though this would, in effect, make abortion essentially a murder crime, women seeking abortions under this law would not face that charge. It's strictly for the abortion providers.
Well, I want you to give us a report. You must have been watching this very closely. Talk to us about the mainstream media and those on the left who are responding to the passage of this bill.
Well, I would say probably the best way to describe it is that their heads are exploding. The stronger reaction is coming out of Hollywood and the Democrat Party, though. Among the Democrat candidates for president in 2020, Kamala Harris said this: outrageous news coming out of Alabama. This law would effectively ban abortions in the state and criminalize doctors for doing their jobs, providing health care to women. Another candidate, Eric Swalwell, said this: a lawless president has inspired lawless legislatures. Our laws are crystal clear. The government cannot come between a woman and her doctor early in a pregnancy. So this is really turning into quite a cultural battle in the ongoing cultural wars.
Well, David, a number of abortion bills have been passed this year in other states as well, and it seems that this movement at the state level, by the way, may be gaining enough momentum to challenge Roe versus Wade there at the Supreme Court.
I think that's right. According to some reports, as many as 30 different abortion laws have been passed by current state legislatures. Now, not all of those are heartbeat bills, but at least 15 states have either passed or proposed heartbeat bills under their current legislatures. For example, in March, Mississippi passed a heartbeat bill, and as I mentioned, Georgia passed a heartbeat bill last week. In April, Indiana placed a near total ban on the most common type of second trimester abortion in our state. And days later, Ohio passed a bill banning abortion in the very early weeks of pregnancy, and this was a heartbeat bill. And then a committee of the Louisiana House in Baton Rouge advanced a fetal heartbeat bill as abortion rights activists were actually demonstrating outside the Senate chamber. Early Thursday, just a couple of days ago, the Missouri Senate passed a fetal heartbeat bill that includes an exception for medical emergencies, but does not include an exception for pregnancies caused by rape or incest. Over time, the courts have actually become more sympathetic, and a broad swath of the country's middle and south now has minimal access to the procedure. For example, six states have only one abortion clinic left in them. That would be Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, and West Virginia. So this is spreading. And I would say this, too. This is rapidly becoming a state's rights issue related to personhood. And if we remember our history, this exact issue, except related to blacks, is what precipitated the Civil War in the 1860s. So this is very important for the future of our country, I would say.
Yes, and the body of Christ needs to understand what we're talking about here. I know one of the arguments used by the pro-abortion camp is that a woman has a right concerning what happens to her own body. However, scientifically, this isn't just about a woman's body. It's about the life of another human being as well.
That's exactly right. The baby has a completely unique genetic code that's distinct from the genetic code, the DNA of both its father and its mother. It's a unique person, and only one person, unless it's a twin or a triplet or something like that, no other human being will ever have that identical genetic code. And being dependent on the mother and being part of the mother's body are two different things. A nursing baby has a dependent relationship with the mother, but that baby is not a part of her body. And those with physical and mental disabilities are completely dependent upon others for survival, and the elderly as well. So what are we going to do with them? And I think this is something that we need to watch. And if the baby is part of the mother's body, then does that mean she has more than one heart, more than one brain, or additional organs, or additional hands and feet? And then what if the baby is a boy? Does that mean that she is both male and female until delivery? So it kind of gets absurd. And I would also say this, it's actually medical science that's going to destroy this argument, because on the one side, there is in vitro fertilization with conception occurring outside the womb, and they're able to remain viable for longer before they implant. And on the other side, medical advances are making viability outside the womb earlier and earlier. So I think ultimately there's coming the time when there's going to be a convergence so that a baby will be able to develop in a completely artificial environment. And if that happens, this idea that it's a part of the woman's body is completely gone.
You know, those were some great arguments, David. Boy, that's outstanding. If you're listening to this interview right now, you may want to go back and re-listen to it, because you need to write down what David had to say in response to my question. Well, one more, David. When we covered the topic of abortion earlier this year, I remember that you discussed what you believe to be one of the strongest biblical arguments against abortion, and for the idea that life does begin at conception.
Well, for those who claim to be Christians, abortion should be a non-starter, because it is clear from the incarnation of Jesus Christ that life must begin at conception. And except for the most ultra-liberal Christians, those who claim to be Christians, we believe that the Bible teaches God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. So the question then is, when did God take on human flesh? And the only reasonable answer, the only logical answer, the only biblical answer can be that it happened at conception. It wasn't at birth. It wasn't at 20 weeks. It wasn't even when he began to have a heartbeat. And when Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth referred to Mary as the mother of my Lord while Jesus was still in Mary's womb. So what if Mary's attitude had been the same as that of some politicians and other pro-abortion activists who claim to be Christians, like Nancy Pelosi, for example? So that, as our dear departed friend Stan Toussaint would say, that bird won't fly, that dog won't hunt.
That is right, and love that quote from Stan Toussaint. This, David, was a very serious issue that needs to be discussed by the body of Christ. And thanks for giving us the information you have today. And again, folks, you may want to re-listen to the conversation. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network. There we've archived this conversation with David James and myself. Hey, David, thanks a lot for the research, buddy. We'll talk again next week with another issue.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Great to be with you.
Though the law of the land here in America allows for most types of abortion at any time in the life of the unborn, this law does contradict the law of God that is found in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says that life does not begin at birth, not even at the time of conception, but life begins in the mind of God. Psalm 139 reveals this same principle. You know, the Lord does not allow for murder. That's Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. These verses are God's absolute word. We report, you decide. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.